If you want to support us at Clear Vision Revival, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. Okay, so now we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, but the most important thing that you can do is to fortify yourself, protect yourself, put a hedge around yourself, transform your mind into the mind of Christ, sanctify your heart, sanctify your mind and your thinking and your imagination, sanctify your life so that you bear fruit, so that you can minister to people effectively. And I'm going to show you how to get out the ditch, because effective ministry is first you get out the ditch, then you help other people out the ditch. If you try to help people out the ditch while you're in the ditch, that's stupid. That's bad theology. Jesus gave us a whole lot of spiritual truths, and he spoke about them in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Blessed are ye, and it goes on, talks about wisdom, talks about protocols, talks about getting all the ducks lined up. In Australia, we have a saying, getting all the ducks lined up. It means getting everything in its right and proper place. So in the kingdom of God, you have to have everything in its right and proper place. The first thing is, you must judge yourself to see if there's any lies or deceit or unrighteousness in you before you can start judging other people of lies, deceit, and unrighteousness. That's a law. And if you go against that law, you become a hypocrite. And hypocrites, they have their place in the lake of fire. So there's nothing wrong with judging people, but first judge yourself. Then you're righteous. Your judgment is righteous because you have taken the beam out of your eye. Then you can get the little speck out of somebody else's eye. The idea of successful spiritual warfare is to make sure that you're righteous, that you're walking in holiness, that you're doing the right thing. And I'm going to show you how to get yourself out the ditch. I'm going to show you the process, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to give you hope. Now, if you've looked at all of my testimonies, about 13 or 14 of them, you'll show the product of somebody who sat down and got themselves out the ditch. I didn't have anybody to show me how to do it. All I did was saw one or two mighty men of God do stuff, and I said, that means I can do it too. How do I get that? And they didn't tell me how to get it, they just walked in it. I've met other people who have raised people out of wheelchairs. Okay, and if they can do it, I can do it. It gave me hope. So I decided to sit down and pray in tongues, get full of God so that I could get my brothers and sisters out the ditch. But first, I didn't even understand the process. But I was, by default, by accident, but not by accident, because God had already designed it for me. He got me out the ditch first. I sat down, I prayed in tongues, and I got out the ditch. It took a while, had nobody to help me except the Holy Spirit. And all I had to do was learn and listen to Him. And that was a problem within itself. I had to learn to listen and to obey, to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I had to learn to trust God. It's easy to trust men. The problem is not all men tell you the truth, or they tell you a half-truth. And to them, they're not purposely thinking they're lying to you. They just haven't got the story right. They haven't got their theology right. So I went to the Bible and I said, count every man a liar, but God's word true. I figured that's a good start. I'll build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's a good start. And I will wait on the Lord to show me the difference between right theology and wrong theology, right ways and half-baked rubbish ways, dead ends or paths they're going to lead into God. So I just did that. I just went to God. I didn't go to man. I didn't start reading any books on how to get yourself out the ditch. I just started reading the Bible, which is the most inspired book. And that's a book. It's the only book I read. And I just put the headphones on and I just prayed in tongues and I listened to the word. And I tried to apply the word. And I said to the Holy Spirit, show me how this works. And he showed me how it works. And I applied it. And all of a sudden, things just started to happen. And he showed me about roadblocks and about ditches and about holes that we could fall in and about dead ends and all of these things. And he showed me how force multiplied works. He showed me how one person with anointing and another person with an anointing can come together and their anointings can be multiplied many times over. It becomes exponential. And he showed me that he showed me lots of stuff. He showed me that that the earth and the world and the way we see and perceive the earth and the world and life has a great similitude to the way heaven is run. See, God didn't give us a life like this and then heaven being completely and utterly opposite so that, you know, we would be very confused. No, the earth and its this reality is a mirror, a dumbed down mirror of the kingdom of God. Okay, so there are wars. There is good guys and bad guys. There is power. There are thrones and dominions. So thrones and dominions. There are, you know, kingships. There's priests in heaven. Priests. There's on earth. There's all sorts of things that we can relate to. Okay, so all we have to do is understand the difference between this realm and the spiritual realm. How does the spiritual realm work? The spiritual realm overseas is superior to the natural realm. The natural realm was created by the spiritual realm. So if you, through the Holy Spirit, is guided and led through spiritual truths, you'll be able to apply those truths to the natural realm and you will get results. So that was what I tried to do. I sat down and I said, okay, the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to teach us and guide us and to lead us into all truths. I'll pray in tongues and I'll get full of God and he will lead me into all truths. And there is no lie in the Holy Spirit. And all the things that he teaches me will be the absolute truth and not just one version of the truth or a type of truth, but the only truth. And I figured that's a good bet. I'll sit down and I'll build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'll move myself into the love of God. My eyes will open up and I will start to hear God. The enemy will be smashed to death by me praying in the Holy Spirit. And I'll be stabilized internally, right, and externally. And then I'll be able to go out and help other people who are wobbling, who are having trouble, who love God but can't find the entry place. And they're having to fight the fight outside of the stockade instead of coming into the stockade and fighting from within. And so, you know, they're out there in the cold fighting the enemy, whereas they can be brought in to a place of safety, a high, strong and mighty tower. And they can warfare against the enemy from that strong and mighty tower. The Bible says that Jesus is a strong and mighty tower. If you're in Jesus, so how do you get into Jesus? How do you get in him? How do you walk in him? Well, it's very simple. You know, the Bible is very simple. If we take it, if we understand when to take it literally and when to look at it through parables, and there are types and shadows, similitudes, and there are just straightforward black and white things that the Lord says. These, there's no similitude, there's no parable about it. It's just black and white, right? The person who sins will die. The soul that sins, who sins continually, will die. The soul that misses the mark, that doesn't hit the target, will die. But the Holy Spirit is being given to us so that we can continually, consistently hit the target. So I sat down for 5 hours a day and prayed in tongues because that's, I figured that was the best thing to do. And I don't do things by halves. I figured let's just max things out. When I build something, I over-engineer it. So I just started praying in tongues. And I got full of God and I was able to teach other people how to get full of God and how to get their victories. People come to me all the time and they say, I'm in the ditch. I don't know what to do. Now, they don't say these words, I'm in the ditch, but we know that they have an anointing over them. They have a calling. but they're being messed up by the enemy. The enemy is continually messing on their life, causing trouble and confusion and distraction and calamity after calamity, and things quieten down when they don't fight back. But as soon as they start fighting back, the calamity and the problems start escalating, and they tend to stop, so they quieten down. And the enemy's got them. So you can imagine a strong man sitting on a guy. As soon as he starts struggling to get loose, you really put the pressure on him, and he figures, if I stop, he won't hurt me anymore. So they stop. And they learn after two or three times that this is the best way, is to sit there and just be subdued by the enemy. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to engage the enemy through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through the power of our own will, not through the power of our own ability, not through the power of our own strength. We will lose every single time. No, the strategy is to sit down and build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, getting full of God, and letting the glory envelop you, cover you, and then God will start to warfare over the ill stuff, to warfare against the enemy over you. You will envelop, you will cover yourself in that strong and mighty tower. You will cover yourself in that glory. And as the glory gets stronger and stronger, the less likely the enemy has the opportunity to break through that strong and mighty tower you're in. Now he'll try, and he might break through a few rocks, but he won't be successful. You may have to go and just warfare a little bit in a certain bit or here, but it won't be a full-on raging battle where you're continually focused on him, on going after him. Because what happens is, when you start delighting yourself in God, because you're in that strong and mighty tower, because you sat down, had a cup of tea on your nice lounge and relaxed and prayed in tongues and entered into that rest, into that that refreshing, where God causes the weary to rest, and God goes and fights the battle for you, because you're in the strong and mighty tower. You're in Jesus. And God has a major army to go against the enemy. He will rebuke the enemy for you. But your job, this is your job. Your job is to warfare from within, not from without. Your job is to warfare from within, to get full of God, to have him and his glory around you. And then you can sit back and let God do the warring. You don't warfare from outside that big building, that fortified place. If you warfare from that place outside, you will lose every time, and you will be captured by him, the enemy. You'll be captured by the enemy and continually subdued to his way, and you will become his servant. And you don't want to be that. You want to be a servant of God. And the idea is to sit down and let God do all the work inside you. So he will start to take away all of the bad stuff, all of the emotions that rev you up, get you going, all of the lies and all of the unbelief and all of the hopelessness and all the things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. But it's your job to stay on track and focus on the light ahead. And God will give you a daily battle. He doesn't tell you, you know, just keep battling for 3 months. It's a daily battle. It's a daily cycle, right? He loads your benefits up every day. He is your daily bread, right? Today is the day enough for the evil. There's enough evil in today. Okay, so you don't have to worry about going for months. Just fight the battle daily. And if you focus on that, God will replenish everything. You know, he fed the children of Israel in the wilderness every day, not every month, every day. And then there's the Sabbath, where they sat down, they collected twice on Friday, and then Saturday they didn't do anything and ate their manna. So God wants you to enter into the rest. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 1, 2, and 3. It talks about the rest, right? And this rest is that Sabbath. God has done all the work for you. Jesus went to the cross and he won all of the power and resources for you. And he will warfare on your behalf. He will supply your needs so that you can warfare effectively, you know, with one hand tied behind your back, relaxing in air-conditioned comfort on a lounge. You don't have to spend your life going, I bind you up, devil, I bind that thoughts, I bind this sickness up, I command this sickness to go, over and over and over and over and over every day, all day. No, that's wearing you. That would wear everybody out. The idea is I spend 90% of my time just walking around with a big smile on my face saying, praise the Lord, Jesus is real, God's real, and he loves me, and he just wants to supply all my stuff, and he just wants to love on me, and his glory is all around me, and the peace and the joy and the righteousness that I feel is just wonderful, and I've just got happy land all the time around me. And when the enemy does come and try his tricks on me, the Holy Spirit says to me, this is a con. You go, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, and you reject that. How easy is that? What an easy walk in the Lord. You know, all your trials and tribulations doesn't come from God. God doesn't put them on you. The enemy does. If you step out from without of that, if in that strong and mighty tower, if you step outside that, in the blizzard cold, in the freezing wind chill factor, we'll just kill you. I stay in the glory of God all the time. That is safe. And I walk around in the love and the glory of God. I walk around with my eyes open going, praise the Lord, this is wonderful. I walk around in the presence of God. But I had to battle myself inside, get rid of all the negative ideas that were given to me by the enemy. I had to stand against them with faith, because I prayed in faith. I prayed in the Holy Spirit, building myself up on my most holy faith. And I just kept being stoic. I kept going forward, inch by inch. I went forward. Now, I go up to people like me and I say to them, come here. And I put my hands on them, I pray over them, and a whole lot of stuff leaves them. And it gives them a great opportunity to move forward big time. They do a big leap forward. And they don't have to go inch by inch. Like I had to fight every inch of the ground. I had to fight with the Holy Spirit. He had to help me. He had to get me to convince me that he was the only way to fight this battle. And I had to fight my way through this battle with the Holy Spirit showing me how. And I got beaten about a lot. But I was told, stay focused, because God's got a plan for me to help other people. So what motivated me? I'm not sacrificial. I'm not interested in whipping myself. I'm not interested in hurting myself for some great glory. I just went through the swamp. I just went through the jungle. I just went through the desert because I knew there was a water hole on the other side. And I knew the Holy Spirit would get me there if I just kept my mind focused on God, so that I could get bucket loads of water to take back to my brothers and sisters. Or I could leave a trail and I could say, instead of going down this dead end, this dead end, this dead end, follow this path. And they go to the water hole. They go through the jungle. All the bad and nasties in the jungle don't get them because they go through the safe path. They go through the only path, and that is in Jesus. So I teach them to be covered in that strong and mighty tower, and they can just waltz through the jungle. And they're covered in that strong and mighty tower, and they just walk through the desert with a nice umbrella, right, and a glass of ice-cold lemonade. That's good. That's the only thing I did, is I went and I got the stuff for my brothers and sisters. There was a guy, he went and got the stuff for all of us, and his name is Jesus. He went and got everything for us. He is the man. He is the man. He is the hero of all heroes to me. Jesus as a man is the hero of all heroes. He's a superhero to me, as a man, as God. Well, he stepped out of his godliness and became a man to show us how to operate as a man wrapped around the kingdom of God. Now, if he stepped onto earth as God, well, how are we going to follow that? We're not God. We would never have a hope. But he showed how a man who's dedicated and who's determined and who will yield his will to the Father, how successful he can be. He demonstrated the kingdom of God to us. He was a template. He said, I'm going to show you how to do this. And what did he use? He used two things. He used the promises of Abraham that were given to Abraham. He used those promises because he was the seed of Abraham. And God gave promises to your seed, I'll bless. He used those promises to warfare against life. He also used the Holy Spirit to guide him and lead him through life. He was led out into the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father. And the Spirit of the Father showed him what to do, say, and where to go, and he did them. He had his own will. He at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, can we get out of this situation? Is there another way? And the Father said no, and he said, not your will, not my will, Father, but yours. So he yielded himself to the Father's will through the Holy Spirit, and he accessed the promises of Abraham. Okay, you'll find that in Galatians around chapter 3. So we have promises, precious promises, the Bible says. And we warfare through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us. And we have angels gathered around us to assist us. But we can only do it the kingdom way, not our way. So you'll find that when you start praying in tongues, that all hell might break loose in your life. Agitation. You might get frustrated. You might get agitated from within. You might lose your peace, which you didn't even have anyway. You might lose your joy. You might get bombarded with a whole lot of negative thoughts. This is useless. This is not the right way. All this sort of stuff. Surely this can't be that easy. Whatever the enemy will use to stop you from praying in tongues. So the enemy is trying to stop you from praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you think that's God? You've got to be rock. You have rocks in your head to believe that. But people do. People con themselves into believing that God told them to stop speaking in tongues. The reason they do that is because they obviously don't want to fight the war. It's too harsh out there. But if you pray for maybe 5 minutes a day, which you can do, you pray in tongues for 5 minutes a day, close your eyes and pray in tongues for 5 minutes a day, then the next day, then the next day, the next day, and then maybe after 2 weeks, 10 minutes a day, then after another week, 15, 20 minutes a day, move it up in 10-minute increments. Me, I just started 5 hours a day because I was able to pray for an hour and a half, easy as nothing. So 5 hours, well, that was a little bit of an effort. You know, I mean, my mind started thinking about other things. So I was smart. The Holy Spirit told me, I just put headphones on and I listened to the Bible. So as I prayed, I was listening to the Word of God. And I was meditating on the Word of God. And I was building, a memory map of the Word of God inside of me. I was building something. I was imagining. As I was praying, I was imagining I was there. And I was praying in tongues. And I was imagining all of the situations around. And every time I heard the same scripture, I was imagining the same thing, the same place, the same house, or the same land, the same area. And then I'd pray and keep praying. When I heard that scriptures again, that verse or that chapter, I imagined the same thing. And the memory, now when I remember the scriptures, I remember them from a location where I was standing. It's a spatial feature that good memory works from. You know, remembering things by going, you know, the same thing over and over and over and over and over again doesn't work. The best way to remember something is to imagine something about the situation. Good memory people, they talk about these things. They call them building a memory, what's it called? A memory palace, right? Where they have, if you go to the internet and type in memory palace, you'll get it. Scientists have worked out, you know, people can, they can memorize 50 packs, decks of cards, shuffled, each deck shuffled, and they can remember in each sequence the 50 packs, the 50 decks, because they built a memory map inside themselves. It's not about just memorizing over and over and over again. They build a memory map and they walk through it. And they found that's the best way to remember. You know, so your imagination, which is part of your spirit, when you start imagining, do you think the Holy Spirit's going to bring into remembrance? He's going to bring it. He's bringing your imagination that's going to coincide with what really happened. That's going to be amazing, isn't it? That's an amazing thing. So the imagination that you have comes from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. You're praying in tongues and you're listening to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit starts bringing imaginations of the area and the people standing around, and he's going to give you not a false memory, but something that's of a similitude. I don't know how close it would be to real time. I don't know. But that's an amazing symbiotic in sync thing, isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit praying in tongues, formulating the language for you, the prayer language to get the stuff done, giving you the imagination, and the Holy Spirit that moved upon man to and inspired them to write the Word of God, and it's audibly being spoken to you. So you're coming in from the ears, right? Something's been inspired by the Word of God, which is the Bible. You're getting your mind being bombarded with the imaginations of the spiritual realm, which is being influenced by the Holy Spirit, and you're speaking the wonderful works of God. Tell me, do you think you'd go somewhere on that? Do you think that you'd get some benefit out of all of that? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So the easiest way to warfare against all of the enemy is to pray in tongues and to let God first change you before you climb up a mountain and start declaring all this stuff against darkness. You know, if you read in 1 John, there are two anointings. One anointing is to warfare over the enemy that influences your life, right? That's the ministry for you. Then the second anointing is for ministry outside of you, where you pray for people and they get healed, and you speak prophetic words into their life and all of that. That's two types of anointings. And if you go after the first anointing for the transformation of your soul, the sanctification of your mind, right, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you take control of your flesh, then your anointing for ministry outside will be more effective. Matter of fact, it will automatically dovetail in to the anointing that you have for yourself. There are people who can go out and heal people and pray for them there, get better and la 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 and everything, and they speak prophetic words in their life, but they go home and their life is a misery. They've got to turn the TV on and they've got to do other things to distract them from the voices that are pounding their head over and over again. You know, when I prayed in tongues enough, all of a sudden the voices that influenced me from darkness stopped. They started disappearing. And all I had was my thoughts and God's thoughts. That's all I had. I didn't have the enemy's thoughts. And when the enemy started speaking again, I told him to shut up. I didn't have to spend all day saying, I bind that thoughts up. I bind those spirit up. I can't command that stuff, blah, 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 all day. I tried that for months, and that was hard work. But I prayed in tongues, and all of a sudden, they just started dying. The Holy Spirit warfared against any other voice that tried to compete with him. And he shut them up. And now they don't bother me. And now I can sit in complete silence with God and me. So it's me and God. There's no third person, which is darkness, demons, trying to influence my thoughts. It's just me and God. The enemy does come and have a bit of influence in my life. But he doesn't get much of a show because I say in my mind, that's not of God, go away. And that just goes away. I don't have to battle it for 5 hours. I live in a strong and mighty tower. But I had to walk through the desert. I had to battle my way through the jungle. I had to trust in the Holy Spirit to warfare against the enemy in my life. So if you look at John, 1 John, it in chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, no, it says in 4, it says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So he's writing this stuff. He said, this then is the message. And in 6, if we say, then in 7, but if we walk, and then in 8, if we say, and then in 9, verse 9, it says, if we confess, right, and then in 10, it says, if we say, so there's confession, walk, and there's saying, there's, you know, so what we do is, he's telling us how to warfare. We're saying. Now, the best, what do you think you're saying when you're speaking in tongues? You're not saying junky stuff. You're speaking the marvelous works of God. You're speaking things that are going to transform your life. You're speaking about the truth about Jesus and who he is. Do you think that's going to benefit you? Of course it is. It's going to transform your mind. And then if you go to chapter 2 in 1 John, it says, in 27, it says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. He's going to teach you how to abide in him. He's truth. There's no lies in him. And the anointing that you've received, right, is going to teach you so that you can be stable, so that you won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, so that you'll continue on stable. You'll have stability in your life, and then you'll be able to minister to other people. You know, a lot of ministers, they pray for people and they're not stable. And then all of a sudden they get pushback. They get beaten up by the enemy. And they don't understand why they're getting beaten up. Some of them think it's a badge of pride, of wonderfulness, that you get beaten up by the enemy. Give me a break. Who wants to run around saying, oh, the enemy put sickness on me? Isn't that wonderful? No. If the enemy tries to put sickness on me, I pray over it. And it might take me a minute, might take me an hour, might take me a day, might take me a week, might take me a month. But I'll just keep going. And if I give up, it means that I'm willing to just live with it. Right? Which is no great sin. It's not a bad thing. It depends on how bad it's going to impound on your life. I had a sore foot. I prayed over it and prayed over it. I couldn't get it healed. And then a brother who I discipled, and he prayed and prayed and prayed all the time, and he fasted, and he had his own ministry going, and he came to my place and he laid his hands on my foot for an hour, and pain went away, and the ankle part or the sore ankle thing went away, and there you go. 2 years later, it's still good. That's pretty good, right? I wear glasses. I never used to up until about 5 years ago, but I wear glasses now, reading glass or just bifocals now. You know, but I pray for people with eye problems and they get healed. And yet I'm still wearing glasses. You know, Dave Hogan, he wore glasses for 30 years and he is raising hundreds of people from the dead. Go figure it. Well, if he was really willing, he could fast and probably pray and probably beat the stuff. A lot of the time it's harder to get the healing for yourself than it is for someone to pray for you, because you know yourself a lot more. And, you know, people who pray for Madonna, she prays for me and I get healed a lot. And she knows me. She's been with me for nearly 40 years. So she knows all my failings, but she has a different spiritual makeup than I have. She has a different mix of anointing than I have. She's actually much more powerful in healing than I am, but I am more powerful in the inner healing. So when I pray for people, their hearts get healed. Their soul gets set free. Joy comes into their life. When she prays for people, they get healed physically, right? So that's we need both of them. You need to be healed outside and in. Okay, so, you know, we work together in, together back to back, and we smash the enemy up because we have force multiplied. We understand, you know, that it's not about, it's not like one person and another person come together and it's just two people. No, the force multiplied, like, it's like when two come together, it's like the power of 10. When three come together, it's the power of 40. When six come together, it's the power of 200. There's a force multiplied in that. So the first thing you do is you pray. And this is what I do. I have little spiritual exercises that I do in my life. One of them is I put my hand on my heart and I pray over my heart and I command all the seeds of lies and deceit to shrivel up and die, because it's all about your heart, not about your mind. So I pray over that, put my hand over my heart, and I pray in tongues, and I just command all of the lies and deceit. I put my hand on my head, and I command all of the neurons in my head to start firing properly, and all of the toxic thoughts that have come from the enemy and from life to shrivel up and die. All the toxic neural networks that are toxic, that are going to cause me to lose faith and understanding, I command them to shrivel up and die. And I cover myself in the blood of Jesus, and I speak over my body that all my DNA is repaired continually by the blood of Jesus. That all of the physical ailments and sicknesses and broken DNA sequences that I have in myself, that they will be repaired by the blood, because the life is in the blood. And the blood will repair my DNA, because I'm a new creation. I'm a new species. I have through the waters of baptism, and I've been through his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm a new creation. And I speak life over my body. And so I speak those things. And then also I speak the wonderful provision of the Lord over me. That it is his great pleasure to give me the kingdom of God, which is health, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, prosperity, everything that's beneficial to me. And that his wisdom would envelop me, because God is wisdom. Jesus has been made wisdom for us. And if any man lack wisdom, any man lack understanding how to do things, let him ask God. So I ask God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to minister to myself and then to my brothers and sisters. Give me wisdom to make the right decisions, and then also to advise other people on right decisions. I speak these things. And, I just pray in tongues a lot. And any of the other bits, the Holy Spirit just fixes up, because he intercedes for me. That's what I do. And I continually meditate on God, because I'm in his presence all the time. It's hard not to think about God when you're in his presence all the time. He is always on my mind. Always on my mind. Sometimes I drop into the Spirit, I stare into space, and I'm fully engaged. I've gone into the room and I've shut the door and I'm with God. And then there's times I can stand in a whole bunch of people and they're talking to me, and God is still, I can feel his presence, and he's still communicating with me. And he's saying, see that person? The problem with that person's life is this. And I tell them that. I see that person? The problem with that person's life is this. Tell them this. See that person there? Tell them if they do this, then everything will break through. Here, go and lay hands on that person and speak this stuff over them. And I do that, and it just all happens. God turns up over and over and over and over again. And that's all I do. All I do is enter into that quiet place, and I warfare over people's lives with the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. But first, I had to get full of God. So when you start praying and making your journey into the things of God, you will have pushback from the enemy, but you need to just continue to go forward, maybe inch by inch, maybe centimeter by centimeter, but your momentum will pick up as the enemy loses grip, as the enemy loses influence, as the enemy loses their ability to intimidate you. You go forward because faith rises up. You know, God wants you to succeed, and he's going to supply your need according to his riches in glory to get out of the ditch. But you have to partner with him. You know, if someone's got a rope around you and they're pulling you out the ditch, you can't just go, I'll just go limp and you just drag me out. No, they want you to help. They want you to start climbing as well. So it's a partnership between you and God. He pulls you out the ditch and you help climb out as well. Okay? He doesn't want you, you know, people say, I'll just rest in God. No, get out of the ditch and then rest in God. He wants you to fight the enemy. Okay? He doesn't want you to just sit down and be hopeless. So what's your part about getting out the ditch? What effort do you use? Well, you pray in tongues. You sit down and you pray in tongues. And when God tells you you need to settle this thing in yourself, you allow him and the Holy Spirit warfares over it. You just pray in tongues and God gives you inspiration what to do. You go and do it, and that's your effort. That's it. You pray in tongues, he gives you revelation. When someone's climbing out of a ditch, the person with the rope who pulls them out of the ditch is saying, put your hand on that area, put your hand on that cliff, on that part there, lift your leg up there. And they're directing you and you're assisting them, and their major job is to take the slack and to pull you out. But you need to put your hand there, do this, look at this. And that's how the Holy Spirit does. You sit down, you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives you revelation, and you assist him. He is your paraclete. He comes alongside of you and says, put your hand there, say this, speak this, declare this, and then you both work together in getting out the ditch. God wants to partner with you so that you've got a blessing in the end. Okay, you don't just sit down in air-conditioned comfort and just sit limp. He wants you to use your mouth to declare the words of God that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and then angels come and assist you. That's how it works. You're working with the Holy Spirit to get yourself out the ditch. The enemy's trying to waylay you, con you, trick you, tell you to stop. Anything can do, distract you. Situations will happen. People will ring you up at the wrong time. People will start to come around your house that never come around your house when you start to pray. All this stuff. And you need to focus. You need to say to them, listen, I'm having a time with God, or whatever you need to do. But you need to put God first. And that time of getting out the ditch, you need to focus on that and let him help you and assist you. The enemy will put everything in your life, sickness, everything he can, anything that he knows that will distract you. He knows what pushes your button. Remember the scripture? Resist the devil, okay, and he'll flee. Draw close to God, right, and resist the devil and he will flee. Resist his ideas and he will flee. Draw near to God. Go close to God. How do you get me out the ditch, Father? Show me. That's how it works. So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help Donna and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.